Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the clubhead is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Hardy here with you for, as Sean Silver described it moments ago, here live in Dorchester, the penultimate Sports Hub Golf Club of the season. I think he just wanted to use the word penultimate before 7 a.m. just to see if it would make my head explode.
I'm always looking to impress you, Hardy.
It almost did. It almost did. And he reminded me the first day of fall. So you're sure about this before I go spouting off a bunch of nonsense.
No, I may be a fountain of misinformation, but Tracy and I kind of nodded at each other sleepily coming in here, you know, about an hour ago and said, hey, first day of fall, huh? Yeah.
Okay. The autumnal equinox is today. And years ago, I was told and even demonstrated this in seventh grade that at noon on both the first day of fall and the first day of spring, the autumnal and vernal equinoxes, because of the Earth's rotation around the sun and something to do with the gravity and the gravitational pull of the Earth, that at noon, at high noon, for about 15 minutes, you can balance an egg on its end on the ground. Turns out it's a bunch of hogwash. Now I did it, but here's the thing. Go get an egg out of your refrigerator. And it doesn't work with every egg, but pretty much at any time, any day of the year, you can balance an egg on its end. It doesn't have to be at noon on the first day of fall or the first day of spring. You understand what I'm saying? The balancing the egg thing has nothing to do. The Earth's gravity does not change so much at a certain time of day at some point on the planet, just on the first day of spring or the first day of fall. So I'm sorry to my seventh grade science teacher, but you were wrong. But there was no double checking your teacher back in the day. You just took everything as gospel. And when we went outside and bounced the egg outside, we're like, wow, it works. Here's the other thing about fall golf, which I'm always looking for an excuse to explain why I play poorly. We all know about the leaves and how it is difficult sometimes to find your golf ball when the leaves are falling. That's one thing. But the different sunlight does mess with my head. And I have always been a guy, when he plays, has a problem with my shadow in front of me. If I can see the horror show that is my swing in shadow form laid out in front of me, it's a problem. Now, this happens, of course, all the time, depending on what time of day you're playing and you know where you are on the planet, but seems to be more pronounced in the fall when the sun is at a different angle and the shadows mess with you a little bit. But I'm just talking about overall light. It does mess with me a little bit. Having said all that, fall golf to me is the best. It truly is. I mean, springtime, you might have one of your best rounds of the year. That's a pretty common thing. People say it's like, oh, I play my best round of the year the first, second time. Yeah, because you're not trying too hard. You're just trying to swing within yourself. You're really swinging in the barrel, and you're not trying to do too much. By the time you get to mid-season form, maybe you're playing well, maybe you're starting to fall apart. But in the fall, hopefully you got a couple of things figured out from the season. And just weather-wise and conditions-wise, and I've had some of my favorite rounds I've ever played have taken place in October and November, even here in the Northeast. It's a great time. So to me, having Sean Silver say to me, hey, it's the first day of fall, that's good news. Yes, it means that we're not going to be playing for months and months and months now, but this is some of the best time to be playing. It's certainly one of the best times to be playing if you're Tiger Woods, who has a share of the lead at the Tour Championship. Now, if you haven't been keeping up on it, and this is really the problem. This is the problem. The reason why the PGA Tour is changing everything next year is there is a Tour Championship going on right now that the PGA Tour would like you to think of as a fifth major. Despite what John Feinstein told us when he was on with us last week or the week before that the Ryder Cup is the first major, nobody really thinks of the Ryder Cup as being a major championship. It's something different. It's alone in its own category. It's team golf. It's patriotism and continentalism or whatever you want to call it for the European players. That's something else. And while a lot of people want to throw in another tournament earlier in the year as the quote-unquote fifth major, there is no fifth major. Let's face it. And the LPGA has added a fifth major, and you see how that worked out for them. The Evian Championship or whatever the hell they added in there as the fifth. You can't just decide arbitrarily after playing golf, tournament golf for 50, 60, 70, 100 years that, oh, now we're going to have a fifth major. But the PGA Tour, in their attempt to create some NASCAR-like excitement with the points, a season-long points buildup, created the FedEx Champ, the FedEx Cup, and now it culminates this weekend with the Tour Championship. And Tiger Woods has a share of the lead after two rounds. You know who's talking about it? Practically no one. Do you want to know why? Football. And that's why the PGA Tour is changing everything next year. I give them credit. They are pushing away from the table, and they're saying, no, thank you. We're not going to fight this fight anymore. Started happening years ago when they had the Deutsche Bank Championship going on Labor Day weekend, the start of college football. You see, players themselves were not even interested in what's going on in golf. They were more interested in what Georgia and Alabama were going to do that day. And it continued right up and through our last Labor Day broadcast out at the Dell Technologies this year with players coming off the course on Saturday. They don't want to talk about their second round. They want to talk about whatever their alma mater was doing that day. You know, talking to Ricky Fowler years ago, he wasn't interested in, you know, what he had done on the course. He wanted to talk about Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or wherever the hell he went. State? Silver will know. Where did Ricky Fowler go to college?
He always wears orange, right? So is that Tennessee?
No. My point is this. It's a shame that Tiger Woods is in the hunt right now. Oklahoma State, thank you very much, Tracy. And not as many people are paying attention to it, but he's going to get plenty of attention this weekend if this holds up. Now, Tiger Woods spoke after his round yesterday. I'll give you the quick recap here, and then we'll hear from Tiger before we get much further on in the show today. He had a tie after the first round and was tied with Justin Rose. Both of them shot 65s in their opening rounds. As for Tiger, he fell back a little bit yesterday and shot a 68. Get into his round a little bit more in a second, but here's what Tiger said after his second round yesterday.
Rounds like today are hard, and they're hard mentally, and because you have to grind it out. They're not quite as sharp, and it's easy to shoot low scores when they're sharp. It's a little bit more difficult to post a low number when I'm off, and I was able to do that today. Kept myself in the tournament. I'm rolling the ball well, but more importantly, I need to leave the ball in the correct spots. Above the holes, it's not easy this week. And so it's imperative I hit the ball in the fairway so that I can control my spin coming in the greens. And, you know, yesterday I had a bunch of uphill putts. And, you know, hence I shot 5 under.
And as far as yesterday's round, it started from the warm-up where Tiger said he didn't have a good warm-up. He wasn't feeling right. He wasn't hitting the ball the way they wanted to. And these players, they will sometimes see what their shot is like on the range during their warm-ups, and they will plan their rounds accordingly. And sometimes you don't have that baby fade working, or if you're a player who likes to draw the ball, they are getting fewer and farther between. But if the draw isn't working that day, you got to come up with something else as your plan of attack. And as Tiger just talked about, he didn't have it. He did not have the ball striking yesterday, and still managed to shoot a 2-under 68. He made a birdie at two. The only bogey of the day came at number 9 on the par 3. And then on the back side of the course there at East Lake yesterday, he made birdies at 12, 14, 15, made a deuce at the par 3 15th. His real trouble came on 16, where he missed the fairway to the left. He tried to hit a hero shot over the trees and find the green. Instead, he found a greenside bunker, made a double, but ended up parring 17. And then on 18, he had a makeable eagle putt, and he had made a 24-footer for birdie earlier in the round. He blew the eagle putt past the hole, but made the comebacker for birdie in order to shoot the 2-under 68 and still be tied for the lead after two rounds. So it's him and Justin Rose. Now, what does this mean overall for Tiger Woods and the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup? If you care about these things, I'll just say this. The FedEx Cup point system, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later in the show too, they're going to change it again for next year. Because quite frankly, I still don't understand how Bryson DeChambeau wins the first two playoff events and somehow isn't a dead solid lock to win the FedEx Cup. Unless he were to just fall off the planet and start shooting at 88s, for every round coming in. You win two of the playoff events, there's only two more. Unless somebody is going to go out there and win both of them, or win one and finish runner-up in the other and everybody else falls off, I don't understand the points reset. I don't understand how much these tournaments are worth. Whatever. But going into the tournament, Tiger Woods had a chance to win the $10 million FedEx Cup. He needed to win. He needed DeChambeau to finish in a tie for 15th or worse. Justin Rose to finish in a three-way tie for 5th. I mean, all these conditions involving Tony Finau and Dustin Johnson, who for some strange reason is still one of the favorites to win this thing. Dustin Johnson, when's the last time DJ won? Justin Thomas, Keegan Bradley. Okay, Keegan Bradley won recently, but there was still a chance for Tiger to win all this. He could win this thing conceivably and not win the $10 million. Explain it to me, please, because I still don't get it. They're going to revamp it next year, but I will say this, until they get to the point where they start paring down the players in this FedEx Cup series, which is going to go from 4 events to 3 events next year, until they get it to the point where it's like, all right, we're going to start with 100, and then after the first tournament, we're going to have 50, and then we're going to have the top 25 play in the third and final event, and whoever wins it, wins it. I'm not interested. I'm really not. I don't get it. If you give me the last event and there's 25 players out on the course and whoever wins the tournament wins the $10 million, that I get. Or if you want to turn it into some kind of a match play format for the final tournament, that I get. Match play is golf and it's, some say it's purest and simplest form. It doesn't matter if you blow up on a hole. Did you win the hole or lose the hole? Fine. You lost the hole. You're one down after one. Let's go to number two. It's the reason why matches are still some of the most fun ways to watch and participate in golf, and friendly matches with your buddies tend to be match play as opposed to stroke play. It's why the Ryder Cup is match play. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know if they're just going to do a winner take all in the final tournament, but until they do, who knows? The rules are whatever they say they are. And apparently Tiger Woods still has a chance to win the $10 million. More so than the $10 million, I just want him to win a tournament. I'm rooting for the story here. I'm rooting for Tiger to make it from 79 career wins to 80 career wins. That gets him closer to Sam Snead's 82 wins, the all-time winningest golfer ever. And I've said it many times before, he's not going to catch Jack Nicklaus in his 18 major championships. I don't think anybody thinks that, but I think he could win another major, and I think he could win a handful of tournaments here and there to get him past Sam Snead and say, okay, he never matched Jack's 18 majors, but he won more tournaments than any other golfer any time in golf, in history, in the world. Don't you have to put him back into the conversation as the greatest of all time? And to me, that's a fun conversation to have. And we'll get to have it. We'll be one tournament closer to having it if Tiger Woods is able to win the Tour Championship this weekend, regardless of who actually cashes the $10 million check. Paul Gizbekian, longtime friend of the Sports Hub Golf Club. He's a trainer at Equinox. He's got something not only to talk about today in terms of conditioning for this late season and getting into the off season, but he's got something very cool happening later today at Equinox at Chestnut Hill. It involves you doing something in person or maybe a little live Instagram thing. I don't know. That's why Paul is here to talk about it. He'll join us next.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Boston's best sports bar, the Cask and Flagon. Enjoy Guinness and game day responsibly. Visit the 99 restaurants every Sunday for Football Frenzy, 50-cent bone-in wings, and a chance to win tickets to a game in Foxborough. The 99, always the real deal.
This is a citizen's perspective on a home equity line of credit presented by me, Camille Ransom, home equity loan officer at Citizens Bank. We all have our home renovation wish list, and now is the time to check things off. That's because Citizens Bank is offering new home equity line of credit customers our lowest rates of the season, as low as 4.25% APR when you apply now. Realize new possibilities, like a new breakfast nook, or a new addition for your family's new addition, or a new entertainment area outside. Whether you're investing in your home or just want to have money set aside, a HELOC gives you access to funds when you need it. Ask me how a home equity line of credit can help you reach your potential, or go to citizensbank.com/equity rate to learn more.
Rates are variable. Applicable only to new home equity line of credit applicants. Call 877-877-5378 for details about credit costs and terms. Equal housing lender. Citizens Bank is a brand name of Citizens Bank N.A. and Citizens Bank of Pennsylvania.
The Sports Hub Golf Club is sponsored by Deep Eddy Vodka, named for the oldest swimming hole in Austin, Texas, a place where people gather for good times that never seem to end. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled, made with real all-natural ingredients and juices. Wherever they go, they bring people together for carefree good times. That's the spirit of Deep Eddy. So grab your friends, mix with music, and a splash of Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please, day drink responsibly.
Come celebrate Matt Light's induction into the Patriots Hall of Fame in a free public ceremony on Saturday, September 29th. Visit PatriotsHallOfFame.com for all the details.
Here's what's brewing. Fueled by Dunkin' Donuts. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hang with the Hub crew, outfitted by College Hype, before today's Revs game. Find them in the Fan Zone, Lot 4A, starting at 5:30. Play games for Sports Hub gear, no purchase necessary. Look for the Hub vehicle. Detailed by Cochran Detailing, detail4u.com. It's brought to you by the New England Revolution and 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
All right, back here on the Sports Hub Golf Club with Paul Gizbekian. He is a trainer at Equinox, formerly Back Bay. I believe he's over at Chestnut Hill now. And a longtime friend of the program here and also Titleist Performance Institute. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. Paul, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. And I don't necessarily want to talk about end of season stuff yet, especially after my big soliloquy at the top of the show about how great fall golf is.
Right.
But things do change a little bit for golfers and the way we swing the club when things get a little cooler. And
absolutely.
And it's just, I don't know, it feels like it's a good time for us to be talking, especially here before the show wraps up for the season next week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've had conversations about off-season training and what that transition looks like. And I think one of the points that we haven't really touched on in the past is really looking back at the year that just passed and, you know, what sort of goals did we have in place? What sort of things did you want to accomplish with your golf game? What sort of goals, objectives did that translate into in the gym? What sort of benchmarks did you put in place? And so, you know, if you had a plan, you had a program, you had all these goals and benchmarks and things you were looking to accomplish in place, great. Then first thing you should do at this point is assess the 2017-2018 season, see the sort of things you put in place. Did you hit those? Great. If so, why? And if not, why? Because that should weigh heavily into your program and plan moving forward 2018-2019.
Now you're talking about like actual results on the golf course, or you're talking about like fitness goals, or I know the two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But when you're assessing the end of the season, say, you know what, I really wanted to get down to, you know, a single digit handicap this season, right?
I mean,
and if we're all doing this right, and this is not me telling you that, that this is, you know, what guys have told me for years, and it's what most good players do. They keep track either mentally or actually write down or have, you know, apps that they use now. What is it that you did out there today? Well, I only hit 7 fairways, but I managed to hit this many greens in regulation. I had this many putts, you know, of a total length of whatever. So when you're looking back and assessing, can you then take those things and say, all right, I didn't get down to a single digit. And you're looking at your data and you're or even just thinking back in your head, what was wrong? Well, the driver was really erratic, you know, or my you know, my short game just fell apart.
Right.
Can you then take that and use that as a means to decide what you're going to work on conditioning wise?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, because it's important for us to have that conversation. And, you know, again, did you get down the single digit? Did I minimize my slice? Did I do all these different things?
Right.
And we have that conversation. We capture that data. So when we go back and you know how I work, the first thing I want to do is do an assessment. I want to check how your body's moving, check the mobility, check the stability. I want to check strength force production. I want to check the power numbers, all these different things. So when we go and we look, do things kind of make sense? Did the mobility fall off a little bit? Is your strength the same as it was at the beginning of the season? And so if it's not, then we know we kind of missed some things somewhere along the line. So that allows us to kind of tweak things kind of moving forward into 2018, 2019.
So Paul, let's pretend for a second that I played a lot of golf this summer. Okay. And let's pretend.
You and me both.
Yeah, right. We're both busy. Let's pretend that I played a lot of golf, and my goal, which it would have been, was to be obviously lower the handicap and to actually keep one this summer and to lower the handicap, right, but really be more consistent with my iron striking.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And if I'm doing a brutally honest assessment at the end of the season, I say, you know what? I just didn't get there, especially with the mid irons. I never felt like I got to a place where I was consistently striking the ball and I'm still catching it, you know, like a little fat off the toe and I'm doing this. I come to you and tell you this.
Okay.
How do you then figure out what I'm doing swing-wise, conditioning-wise, in order to identify what went wrong?
Well, one of the things that we could do either in the gym, on the range, or on the course is do a video analysis. I'll take my phone, take my iPad, and take a video down the line and face on and see what's going on from a movement standpoint and how your body's moving. Now, I'm not going to tweak your swing like a golf pro would, but are you losing posture? Are you early extending? Are you coming over the top? Are you swinging, sliding? And then, again, when I take that data and I compare it to your TPI movement screen, when I check your strength numbers, your power numbers, do certain things, you know, kind of line up? Are there some kind of dots that we can kind of connect together that make sense? Most times, yes, because there are, you know, loss of posture issues and some postural stability issues, whatever it is, that's going to certainly have, impact on your impact.
And, you know, we've talked about this before. It's Paul Gazbekian, by the way, who is a TPI guy and over at Equinox now in Chestnut Hill. We've talked about this before, how the posture and the strength and all that stuff, it's not just about driving distance, right? Like, I really wanted to start, having an average drive over 270 this year, and I didn't hit it. You could identify problems with strength and with core strength and posture, all that, in the putting game. You could literally say, you know what? It was my goal this year to do better in scrambling around the green, right? And to have, you know, fewer putts or just get better with my. You could conceivably go back to you or someone else and say, all right, well, let's take a look at what's going on and say, well, here's why you didn't get any better in your in your short game.
Right.
Is you're losing posture on these shots,
right,
and it comes down to strength and core strength as much as it does if you were losing driving distance.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, because we're gonna check, you know, one of the things with the movement screen, we check glute strength, we check your ability to do a single leg bridge, and a lot of people, they'll shake, they'll quiver, they'll get hamstring cramping, a number of different things will happen within 20 seconds. They're grabbing the hamstring, they wonder why. Well, okay, well, certainly glute strength is an issue, but when you get into your posture to, you know, demonstrate that putting stroke, that's going to be an issue, especially over 18 holes, especially over 4 to 5 hours, you know, all the rounds you play over a season, that's going to break down. And the reality is that most golfers, you know, okay, oh, now that the weather's getting colder, they're maybe go to the gym 3 to 5 days a week, but, you know, over the summer, maybe they're going 1 or 2. So strength's going to drop off.
Yeah.
Power's going to drop off. Flexibility, mobility is going to decrease. And that's going to be more of an issue. So, you know, go figure why these things kind of, you know, creep into the game and especially on the putting.
Okay. So you're going to be doing something later this morning over at Equinox, which if you don't know, it's a gym for beautiful people.
That's why I'm there.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not allowed in anymore. Paul, when I hurt my back really bad, and I was debating back and forth whether to have surgery, and the last resort. This was not from a doctor or from some quack. This was from the surgeon. He said, "All right, try one more thing." He said, Go get a trainer and see if you can get some of your core strength back. And I had met Paul before working on the show, and I said, "Paul, I know you've offered this before, but I honestly want to do it this time." And I started working with Paul just on a weekly basis, and it was at Equinox in the Back Bay.
Right.
And thank you. You got me like back to the point where not only I didn't need surgery,
yeah,
right, but I got back to playing golf again. It improved my quality of life.
Yeah.
I can never thank you enough.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
Except for the fact that I had to go and do these workouts in front of the people at Equinox, which is just humiliating. Yeah, you're just all these 20-somethings doing their flying pull-ups while, you know, you've got me doing farmer's carry with, you know, minimal amounts of weight back and forth across the gym floor just to try and reconfigure my back. But Equinox, beautiful place, beautiful facility, and you're doing something there today for, like, everybody?
Today for everybody. If you want to come by from 9 to 11 at Equinox Chestnut Hill, I'll be doing a couple things. Golf video swing analysis. So we're essentially setting up a mat and a net, and, you know, you get to swing the club, and I could do that analysis of your swing. And we could check posture, we could check sway, slide, early extension, all those things. And we're talking a little bit about the TPI moving screen and doing so assessing that and assessing mobility levels and correcting mobility and tying that all together. And that'll be from 9 to 11 this morning.
9 to 11 at Equinox,
right,
Chestnut Hill. Just show up, say, "Hey, Paul's doing a golf thing here today." And
come on upstairs and I'll be there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, just to be able to get in the joint.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice place.
Well, and we'll have some things to kind of get us going in the right direction going into next year.
Okay. Right. So will you also be doing like some screening stuff, or are you just going to be looking at like swings today?
Both.
Okay.
Both. We're going to do probably kind of a chop down moving screen depending on, you know, what we see within the swing and kind of go from there.
All right. So and you're going to be doing something on Instagram also?
Yeah. So after we wrap things up this morning, I'll be on Instagram Live just to answer any questions about, you know, our topic today, which is off-season training. You know, I'm sure people have a lot, like, you know, where do I go? What do I do? And you, some of the things you and I spoke about over last year, you know, we work on strength, we work on power. You know, what does that start to look like over the next 4, 5, 6 months, and how do you break it up?
Okay. All right, so Paul Gusbecki in today, Equinox, Equinox Chestnut Hill,
yes,
which is right at Route 9 there, where the movie theaters are and everything else, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you can tell I spend a lot of time. At the gym. I used to drive past twice a day, every day for years. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but you go there between 9 and 11 today, Equinox Chestnut Hill. Say I'm here for the golf thing with Paul. They'll send you upstairs and get you set up, and then the Instagram Live thing afterwards, starting at 11 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
And Paul, it's a wasted opportunity to have you here and not ask you like one personal thing.
Go for it.
Okay, but I hurt my knee the other day, mm-hmm, and I was up on the counter trying to get some Pop Tarts off the top shelf.
This is not golf related.
No, and I came down and I kind of hurt my knee underneath the kneecap when I landed because I had the box of Pop Tarts in one hand and was a little unbalanced when I hit the kitchen floor. The pain right underneath the kneecap. What should I do?
knowing you, how much time are you spending on usually with knee problems, you know, we don't look to the site of the pain.
It's right there.
I know where the pain is.
It's right there.
But the source of the pain, that was probably something that started in your hip and started in your ankle. So how much time are you spending on mobility in the hip and the ankle? Zero?
Well, me?
Yeah.
See, I was reaching for the Pop-Tarts.
I know. Well, there's part of the problem. Pop-Tarts are definitely not helping
you. I gave you the opening. You didn't even take it. Forget it.
Well, slow,
it's early.
Slow on the uptake, I guess.
It's all right. Paul, always good to see you, man.
Hey, thanks.
That's very cool what you're doing today, because let me tell you something. I've done the screening with Paul. It's invaluable. I know I'm not a flexible, pliable guy, but I thought I had enough.
That's your knee problem.
Well, I thought I had enough to be serviceable on the golf course. And when you go through the screening and you're doing the stuff with your shoulders up against the walls and you're doing the arm lift to think things that you think you would be able to do as somebody who swings a golf club, you figure like, oh, no, I don't have nearly enough in order just to make the most simple golf movements without it being painful. Yeah. It's a real eye opener.
Yeah.
And it is no way. It's inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, you would think it would be kind of discouraging to find out that you're really not where you should be. Yeah. No, it's like, oh, okay. Well, if I need to be here and I can only get my arm back there, what do I do to get there?
Right.
But you're going to be talking about all that stuff.
Right, 100%.
Okay, yeah. All right. Excellent. All right, today, 9 to 11, Equinox, Chestnut Hill with Paul Gizbecki. And follow him on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Golf Wad, WOD, as in the Golf Workout of the Day.
Yes, sir.
The Golf Wad.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Okay, big event going. It's not an event. It's a challenge. It's finally going down tomorrow. I was challenged years ago by somebody who said they could outdrive me on the golf course. I'm like, please. We're not going to do it on a golf course. Well, but you want to have a long drive contest? The gentleman's name is Jermaine Wiggins, and we are finally going to settle this tomorrow. I'll tell you about it coming up next.
Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back now on the Sports Hub Golf Club. This has been a long time coming. When Jermaine Wiggins used to be with us on 98.5, the Sports Hub, you'll remember he was a weekly guest on Felger and Maz. Wiggy and I did some shows together just as fill-in co-hosts and back and forth. And Wiggy has a way about him where he is constantly talking, constantly pimping himself as still the greatest athlete to walk the planet. And look, we all know what Wiggy did on the football field. Amazing. Impressive. Sean Silver, do the Patriots win the Snow Bowl without Jermaine Wiggins?
Oh, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Key component.
Right. He truly. I'm not BSing. The guy's legit. But when he starts running his mouth as he did years ago and said, I can still dunk a basketball, and I say, okay, $1,000 right now, let's go. What do you mean? How many chances do I get? I'm one. You can either dunk a basketball or you can't. And I've got 1,000 reasons that say you cannot. Not today. Not the Wiggy of 2018 or years ago when he said this, whenever it was, in 14 or 15. I said, no, you can't dunk a basketball right now. So during one of these conversations years ago when Wiggy and I were on the air together, he's like, oh, Mr. Golf, man, Mr. I'm like, I'm not Mr. Golf. I like golf and I do a golf show, but, you know, I'm not good. He's like, I bet I could outdrive you. I said, oh. You know what? That's an interesting challenge, Wiggy. You, as a professional athlete, right? As a Super Bowl champion, guy who played on multiple teams, one of the handful of guys who ever caught passes from Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. That's a good trivia question, right? Jermaine Wiggins caught passes from both. As a guy who is, you know, still plays hockey and still, you know, puts himself out there as somebody who can do all this stuff. Yes. You play golf? Yeah. I'm like, okay, let's do the long drive challenge. And we had it all set up. My buddy Joe Leary at the time was working over at Ponca Pog, and we had it all set up and ready to go. And he was going to lay out a grid for us. He was gonna have a stack of balls. And I said, okay, it's happening, you know, this day. All right, I'll be there. Literally, Wiggy came in the next day. He said, I'm quitting the Sports Hub. I'm going to do the morning show on Hot 96.9. And I always felt in the back of my head he actually left so he wouldn't have to do the long drive challenge. And then who shows up in his building a few years later? That's right. Here I am, buddy. The long drive challenge is back on. And it was actually Wiggy who said to me, hey, man, now we can do that long drive thing. And I said, great. So I got the perfect place for it. So as I was out at Core Golf last weekend for their million-dollar shootout, they were doing the, you know, the hole-in-one chance for $1 million. It was, they had the four finalists out there last week. It was fun to watch. Nobody won the $1 million, but it was still a good time. I talked with a couple of people out there, Bill McInerney from Core Golf and Dan Boisvert, who is, I think, the director of instruction out there. And I said, hey, Wiggy and I want to do this long drive thing. Can we like do it here? It doesn't have to be like, you know, it'll be quick. We just want to hit a few balls and see who can hit it further. He's like, hell yeah, you can do it here. So I think this is the way it's going to go down. High noon tomorrow, Wiggy and I out at Core Golf in Natick. I think they're going to set us up in the fitting studio they have there, which has one end of it open where you can hit balls actually out onto the range. They're going to set up TrackMan so we can get like actual analysis of the shots, but with physical spotters out on the range, you know, and I warned him, I'm like, you're going to need someone out there at least 230 yards because if I catch one, I might even roll it out 240, baby. It's like, don't worry, we got enough room. We'll be safe. So they'll have the actual swing analysis that, you know, and what the computer says, but also what the eyeball says, you know, and we'll have, they have all these different greens and all these different targets out there on the range at Core. So we will pick two spots. You know, here you got to keep it in between these two points. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it. If we're going to do five balls each, if we're going to do 2 minutes each, like they do in the Remax Long Drive Championship, whatever we decide on, we're going to be doing it at noon tomorrow, and it will not take long. So we'll be recording it. We'll have video up for it, and we'll recap everything next week on the show. But the Hardy Wiggy Long Drive Challenge, finally, years later, will be going down tomorrow at Core Golf in Natick. So thank you to Core. Thank you to Wiggy. And when I told Wiggy that it was all set up and ready to go, he said, fine, no problem. He said, I'll be there. He said, all I need is a driver. I said, what? What do you mean you need a driver? You need like a car service? You need an Uber? He said, no, man. I need a driver. I need like a driving club. Like, oh. He should beat me. You understand? Wiggy is still like a big, strong dude, right? Especially for someone who said he could beat me. So he should win this thing. He claims he can hit at 350. And I have always been very honest about my game and about my abilities. And regardless of the fact that I do a golf show, so what? If I really catch one, right? If I pure it with a driver, I'm going to hit a 260. Might roll out 270. That's it. That's all I got. Swinging out of my shoes. And the chances that I'll be able to hit one like that in a confined amount of time, very, very minimal. But Wiggy says he can blow it 100 yards past me. You know, if I hit a good drive and I keep one on the grid and it's 250 tomorrow, according to Wiggy, he should be able to blow it a football field past me. So we will find out tomorrow. I'm just setting myself up for the loss and saying if he beats me by less than 80 yards, then I should still get the W because he claims he can hit a 350. We'll find out tomorrow. And like I said, we'll have evidence and documentation for everybody so you can check it out. And really, it's just an excuse to go to Core and hit some balls. That's, you know, so I say, I got to leave tomorrow. I got to be out of the house by like 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I got to drive out there. I got to warm up. I got a thing. I'll be home. Maybe dinner. We'll see. Oh, football game tomorrow night. Never mind. All right. I'll be home earlier than that. We'll step aside. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. I think Ryan Johnston is already here to take over here at 8 o'clock this morning. So we'll come back and, as I said, finish things off here in a minute.
Your Boston Red Sox are American League East champions for the third consecutive year. 98.5, the Sports Hub and Tony Maserati bring you Boston's only nightly baseball show.
You never have a perfect bullpen.
Get the latest on the Sox and the playoff picture on the Baseball Reporters, weeknights at 6. Also available when you want it on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
By the way, to a handful of people who have asked, does Wiggy play golf? Wiggy plays enough to where he's sent me like videos on Twitter, you know, from the golf course. And I think he does like, you know, a lot of scrambles. People, you know, want him to play. Just how people ask Zoe to play all the time, right? But Zoe, you may find this shocking. Zoe has difficulty focusing on one task for like 4 or 5 hours, the amount of time it takes to play in, you know, one of these scramble tournaments. So Zoe, for the most part, it turns down these invites. But Wiggy will show up. Yeah, go play golf, ride around in a cart, you know, a few beverages, get a lunch out of the deal. He'll do it. So he plays enough. I have no idea how this is going to go tomorrow. But once again, the people at Core were kind enough to allow us to go out there and hit a few drives tomorrow and settle this once and for all. The Hardy Wiggy long drive challenge came about very organically, very quickly. If I were to do this all over again, it would be a McGregor Mayweather type buildup for it. I mean, there would be hype videos there. There would be press tours. There would be threats and rumors about people dropping out due to injury. I'd play this thing up for all it was worth for months. As it turns out, we got 3 days. So less time to think about it, less time to hype, but the event itself should be magical. It's going to be a nice day tomorrow, too, so we got that going for us. By the way, 19th hole presented by Deep Eddy Vodka, authentic American vodka made in the heart of Texas. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly. I don't know if I've talked about the back patio at George Wright before, and somebody accused me of selling out because I don't live a mile away from George Wright anymore. But if I've never chosen that back patio at the George Wright Golf Course in Hyde Park as the 19th hole, I'm picking it today. It's a great spot. You can see people teeing off a one. You can see them coming down number 9 fairway and see people right there on 18 green there on the back patio at George Wright Golf Course. So that is your 19th hole of the day. Looking at highlights from yesterday's tour championship right now, where, again, this is going to be the story to watch over the weekend. Tiger Woods tied for the lead after 2 rounds, shot the 65 to tie Justin Rose to open things up in round number 1 on Thursday. Yesterday, he fell back a little bit, and Tiger shot a 68, a 268 in his second round. But I keep saying that he was tied with Justin Rose there after the first round, but Justin Rose shot a 66 in round 1. It was Ricky Fowler who he was tied with after round 1. My apologies. Justin Rose went 66-67. So it's Tiger and Justin now alone atop the leaderboard at 7 under par after 2 rounds at the Tour Championship in Atlanta. A lot of things need to happen in order for Tiger to actually win the $10 million and the FedEx Cup. But to me, that is secondary. Him just winning the tournament is going to be the thing that I'm going to be watching for and kind of rooting for this weekend. Ryan Johnston here, ready to go. Do we have Mike Flynn here with us today, Ryan?
No, just me.
Solo,
well,
RJ?
Only for an hour. It's the hockey show premieres today.
Oh, that's right.
Starting at 9 o'clock.
Fantastic.
Yes. This is why the PGA is making the right move to move the playoffs up into August. Because if Tiger Woods wins the Tour Championship on Sunday with nobody watching because the NFL's on at the same time.
Because it's week 3 of NFL.
Does it really happen?
I know. And this is why they're changing everything next year. It's why the It's why the PGA Championship is moving to May. It's why they're going to start the FedEx Cup playoffs in early August. It's why Boston got shafted as being the annual second event, and now they're going to be every other year because they can't – forget about NFL. They can't compete with college football.
No. They won't. Not down south, they can't.
No, they won't even try. Nope, we're not – and I give them credit for being smart. They're like, we're not going to fight this. We're gonna wrap up our biggest event before college football starts – And a full week ahead of NFL.
And you know what? More sports leagues should do that.
Yes.
More sports leagues should plan around what else is going on the calendar and, oh, by the way, shorten their seasons.
Oh, now you're talking my language. Yes.
There's no reason that the World Series needs to stretch into November. No reason.
82 game, 162, whatever you're playing. The only one who does it right, ironically, is the NFL.
And they're trying to go the other way.
Desperately trying to screw it up by adding more regular season. Leave it alone. Figure it out. Figure out how you can take away a couple of preseason games and leave 16 regular season. And don't mess with it.
Yeah. But less is more. Less is always more.
Right. It's the oldest show biz adage there is, and this is entertainment.
We all get fatigued watching the same thing over and over again. You need a break.
Leave them wanting more.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes, the George Costanza approach.
Exactly.
Right? You go out on a high note.
Good night.
You know, I'm gonna
which theoretically is what the PGA could be doing this weekend if Tiger wins, except that nobody will be watching it because they'll all be watching football.
Of course. That's why I'm leaving right now. I could stand to another hour of the Sports Hub Golf. I could do it all year long, but instead we're going to wrap up the show next week, and our season will be over. Thank you to Paul Gizbekian for joining us here today. Don't forget, he's going to be doing his free screenings and his swing analysis over at Equinox Chestnut Hill from 9 to 11 today, and then doing his Instagram live thing on the Golf WOD. That's WOD, stands for Workout of the Day, the Golf WOD, later this morning starting after 11 o'clock. Our long drive challenge at Core Golf tomorrow. Thank you to Core for doing that and hosting me and Wiggy for our little event tomorrow. And we'll be talking about it next week on the final Sports Hub Golf Club of the season. Ryan Johnston up next. Sean Silver with the headlines. Thank you, Tracy, too. Tracy Clements, our producer here this morning.